us and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Aftershocks have been rattling Northern California after a 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit. Cans hit the floor of a store in the town of Redway. USGS geophysicist William Barnhart.
People just need to be concerned about aftershocks, and if they feel shaking from those, to take protective action. And if they are near the coastlines and they hear tsunami warnings, to take action.
A tough fight for President-elect Trump's choice to lead the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth, CBS's Torian Small.
The real sticking point could be those on-the-fence Republicans like Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. When asked on Fox News this morning, she said she's going to wait for this process to play out, take it all the way to the hearings if he stays in this.
Memphis Mayor Paul Young spoke today about a critical DOJ report on his police department.
We believe that adjustments we've already begun making must continue and that they must expand.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The city of Wisconsin Rapids still does not have a contract with the Southwood County Humane Society. SWCHS Board President Tim Kritz spoke at the Finance and Property Committee meeting on Tuesday. He shared again how the contract has been refigured for municipalities that contract with the Humane Society. The new contract is based on use, making it a fairer charge for services rendered. Committee members discussed revisions they want to make to the contract. These include requiring a photo ID and a copy of the driver's license for anyone picking up an animal from SWCHS. This allows the municipalities to bill their residents for shelter services. The shelter will also track how many days the animals are kept at the shelter and include that in the reports they share with municipalities. Tim addressed rumors that are being spread in the community regarding the renovations that are happening at the shelter and where that money is coming from. The shelter has a new septic and they've updated the dog room. Upgrades are continuing with new, safer office spaces. They will have their own surgical center and are working to have a full-time vet on site. They'll include a community room in the new addition where the public can attend informational classes. Tim said someone is spreading rumors that the shelter has hidden money and is gouging the city. That is not true. The money for these upgrades are not part of the shelter operating budget. The money came from the Legacy Foundation by a grant or was donated by people who willed it to the shelter for these upgrades. SWCHS hopes to complete the new addition by spring and will be able to give tours to municipalities who contract with them. A motion was made to pass the revised 2025 contract with the Southwood County Humane Society. There was no second, so the motion died for lack of a second. The contract may come back as a Finance and Property Committee meeting item next week, and the Common Council meeting is on December 17th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks lose to the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Milwaukee now 11-10. They face the Celtics tomorrow night in Boston. College basketball, Marquette losing to Iowa State, 81-70. The Golden Eagles host the Badgers on Saturday. NFL, Packers and the Lions tonight on Thursday Night Football. Tight end Tucker Kraft on the Packers' good mood after winning three in a row.
The locker room is almost always like this because even when we are down, you know, we're not emotionally down.
College football. Wisconsin signed 24 new recruits, but has over a dozen, including wide receiver Trek Kakahuna, entering the transfer portal. Luke Fickell on getting new players to commit despite a losing season.
Let's be honest, it's pretty easy for people out there to say, well, why would you want to do that? They're going to go right back to doing what they did before. But if people believe and trust in you, then they'll have some blind faith.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them, but with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Bright and beautiful today, with the sunshine making a return and breezy winds still lingering, gusting around 25 miles per hour. It's taking our highs in the low 20s and making it feel more like the single digits. The cold weather has a grip on us tomorrow still, but a nice warm-up for the weekend.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is here to help protect you against scams. If you receive a text or email about a delayed package, find a popular item sold online at a deep discount, or get a phone call from a government agency, loved one, or stranger asking for money or private information, that is a scam. Don't respond to these messages. Report them to DADCAP and learn more at datcp.wi.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 5th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in Jen McNelly, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator with UW-Madison Extension. Looking forward to talking with Jen. And been looking forward to this all week long. We've got our great friends from the Historic Point Boston today. We'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Tom Bremer is here with us. Tom, thanks for being here.
Cool. Glad to be here.
And Larry Knutson's with us. Larry, good to see you.
Good morning. Beautiful morning out
there. It is a really beautiful morning. Isn't it? We'll take this. I saw that blue sky right away this morning. I'm like, you stay there. You stay right there, blue sky. We want to keep you out there. We're here today to talk about Heritage Holly Day at the Historic Point Boss. It is coming up this Saturday, December 7th. Guys, how long has this event been going on, this one in particular? Tom, do you remember how long this one?
It's got to be 25 years
at least,
more.
Right?
At least.
That was the best I saw. It's been a long time going on, and there's a reason that it's such a wonderful, popular event. It certainly it's attached, I would say, to the Nakusa Hometown Christmas. Yes, that's part of the fun of it. It's also one of those events that's just another great, unique event at the Historic Point Boss that keeps history alive over there. Where do we begin with this event? Larry, for you, you want to talk about your place in the event?
Well, we have something out there that we've started, and it's kind of a fun thing, I think, for the kids and stuff, is that if you look back in history, Santa had his sleigh, and he worked really hard over Christmas Eve, and so when Christmas Eve is over, his reindeer are kind of tired out, and so he lets them loose, and he lets them range, and so they can find the best feed and grain, and come winter the next season, he has to get them back. And they kind of are all over the world, free ranging out there, if you will. And so what we do in 1800s, they would have sleigh bells, and those sleigh bells, when they would put them on the horses, that was a sign for the reindeer to return to Santa. So that's what we have out there. We have sleigh bells for the children to ring to help us get those reindeer back to Santa for Christmas Eve.
I love that. That's an awesome idea. And it's such a great example, you guys, of the fun you have over there. You know, you're teaching history. You're sharing some of that. And these kids, their brains, they soak that up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always unique and fun for them. And I think it makes the holidays and things like that, when they see sleigh bells, they mean even more, having the history behind that stuff. But it's just a lot of fun, too. It's a great idea.
We like to keep the kids entertained, and it helps the parents as well. We had a comment in the past that some people were somewhat disappointed in our decorations. Well, if you go back in the Wakely era, 1800s, they didn't have the flamboyant decorations necessarily like we have today.
Yeah.
But we took that to heart, and one of our members is out there, and his Friday is going to. She helped last year, too. We've improved our decorations a lot out there. So
I appreciate
enjoy the the spirit of the holiday.
Yeah, and we appreciate, as a community, you guys hearing the community and listening and adapting to that. I certainly, just speaking for myself, I will say to any community members that have feedback like that, you know, you can also help and be a part of things at the Historic Point Boss. Absolutely. They're always looking for volunteers and looking for people, so maybe put your money where your mouth is and get out there and help out a little bit, too, because I think that would be a great idea.
Always looking for volunteers.
Yeah. And when it comes to this event, there are going to be historic crafts, demonstrations, a scavenger hunt, Tom. There's a lot of fun things that are part of this event.
Mm-hmm. There's something, each venue has got something a little bit different. It's all tied to Christmas, of course. And when you talk about old-fashioned Christmas, how many times have we said that, mm-hmm. Are you hearing the ads? This old, we do old-fashioned Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We really do old-fashioned
yes.
Christmas.
Yes, yeah. When it comes to the crafts, tell us about that spot.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Talk to Larry.
Larry, okay. I apologize, Tom.
We try and come up with ideas that are somewhat period for the time.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, back then it was a spirit of Christmas, and you didn't get your kids 20, 30 gifts like a lot of people do today, and stuff. You're lucky if you got one gift or whatever. But a lot of it was just entertainment and good food and stuff. And we have good food out there that we'll be cooking. I'm going to have apple cider in the bunkhouse for people to warm up a little bit. And but it's some crafts for the kids. They get to decorate the tree in the school and there is going to be a scavenger hunt this year, and then of course they get a little prize, not a great big prize, but
sure.
But if they complete the scavenger hunt,
is that the passport sort of thing that they've done before?
No, we have one of our members, Linda. We come up with a scavenger hunt, and there's going to be things planted around Point Boss, around Point Boss, they have to look for these items and then mark them off, and if they complete the
That's really cool.
Isn't that a fun idea? That's
kind of
great.
Geocaching in history.
Yeah.
There you
right.
go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it, Tom. Yeah, yeah. I'm a sucker for scavenger hunts in general, but something like this is such a great way of teaching while also having fun. It's a great way for the kids to explore the area, get to know it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when it comes to these family events, it is not lost, I think, on most out there that this is a great opportunity for adults to show kids how important our history is to us. When they see adults taking part in these situations or volunteering or any of the above with the Historic Point Boss, they are more inclined to do it when they become adults and be a part of things and keep this history alive and going. There's other great stuff involved with the event going on this Saturday, Tom. What else you want to touch on here?
Well, now, for instance, in the cabin, we'll be there the whole time. And I want to get hazelnuts, because they always talk about chestnuts roasting on the open fire.
Yeah,
chestnuts don't grow around here.
Yeah, that's right.
But hazelnuts do.
Hmm.
And last couple of years, I've had a little trouble finding them, but I've got a lead. So when we leave here, that's where I'm going to check out.
Right up.
So the idea is that we can roast some hazelnuts, and you can crack them and eat them still warm. And then if everything goes just right, we're going to be doing corn fritters, little bite-sized corn fritter thing. I'm working on that, too. It's still a work in progress, but this is only Thursday. I got lots of time.
You guys got
Thursday
plenty of time.
Friday, what the heck? Don't rush it. But we're gonna do that sort of stuff in the cabin, at least, because we don't decorate hardly at all, because you got 2, 3, 5 old bachelors living in a cabin way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
No, they celebrated certainly, but didn't decorate. So we're going to have a little extra to eat. And the apple cider Larry's doing was made right on the site in the fall.
Which, you're not going to have many apple ciders that are going to taste like that, by the way, everybody. There's good, and then there's that it's just a different level.
And
it's a different level.
They froze it, of course, because it's the only way to hold it that long. But it's really good, and it's made right there.
I don't know if I've talked about this much with you guys. I know Mike and I have from time to time, but I guess it's never bad to remind our audience and remind people that are attending these events and everything. Historical accuracy is something the Historic Point Boss really works for. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason why there's not a big electronic Santa out there, greeting you in these things or some of the other things that you might come across. It's a great opportunity, I think, not only to... You know, we hear this all the time, the real spirit of Christmas and getting back to the real spirit mm-hmm. of Christmas and some of those. And one of the first things I think of is this event, because it is truly a getting back to the roots of what Christmas is about and the spirit of it and everything. Both of you have touched on this already a little bit in the conversation. It really does get you back to the spirit of the time.
Yeah. There are elderly people such as us. Yes. That have experienced some of this stuff. We didn't, some people back there didn't have electricity in their youth and families like that. And this is an opportunity for them to come back and kind of reminisce a little bit maybe for some of those elderly people and to show their kids, this is what we had. Yeah. You know, this you didn't have the big grandiose Christmas like they have today and in the shopping malls and things like this, but this was what was important to us back then. It's a time for them to reflect a little bit, too. So.
And if I can, one thing that I'm always looking for, and I think a lot of people are in our society, is more opportunities to create empathy. And while I did not grow up in this era of things, I can relate to a lot of this. I had many Christmases where our heat was not on. I had I had more Christmases than I can count where I didn't get a gift, or my brother and sister didn't get a gift, or anything like that. We grew up poor, and we didn't have a lot of these things. My Jewish mother loves Christmas more than anybody I've ever known in my life. So we always had some decorations wonderful, up and yeah, everything, wonderful. You know, but that's what we were all about was she knew that we didn't have a lot. So, yeah, she'd make some extra cookies that year or something like that. She would do certain things. Growing up, I never noticed that we didn't have certain stuff. Mm-hmm. All I could focus on and think about was what we had. You don't know what you don't have if you didn't have it.
Right. And, but you know you got family.
Yes, yes. And that, again, gets back to the spirit of this. When you come to this event with your family, you're experiencing that. You don't have a lot of and nothing against the hoopla of Christmas. A lot of it's fun and everything. But it's nice to kind of get back to these things and a great opportunity to remind kids, not only of the trailblazers and the people that paved the way for us to get here so we can have these fun Christmases and all these cool things, but also to get back to, again, what this is all about.
Yeah.
And really giving and community and so many other things.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed one of the times, I don't remember what year, but as it gets darker in the afternoon, we're open till 4, so it's starting to, we're only half an hour, actually less than a half an hour from sunset. You walk up to that house, it had snowed. All the windows, just candlelight so that, you know, the Courier and Ives look of the house.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, ain't this cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Or even the cabin inside where it's just candlelight and it's kind of dark in there by then. Yeah. Yeah. And there's just candlelight. But it's so neat that the pictures you see, and it's alive.
The pictures are great, but it doesn't, you got to see it in person.
Yep.
You've got to experience these things because so much of it, there's no real way to word them. You just got to experience and see it. We're speaking with Larry and Tom from the Historic Point Boss about the Heritage Holidays that is coming up Saturday, December 7th from noon to 4. I noticed that there's going to be some demonstrations going on there as well. What kind of demonstrations are going to be happening?
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure, but like I say, in the schoolhouse, they'll have decorating the tree and talking about the school and things like that. In the house, they're going to be making some food in there, so they'd be demonstrating the use of the wood stove and things like that.
I'm sure there's something in the blacksmith shop that
the blacksmith guys are going to be working.
Absolutely. Something anyway.
Blacksmith in there will be doing blacksmithing and talking about that.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't be doing something in the carpenter shop.
Mm-hmm. The three bay shed.
You can imagine the demonstrations are going to certainly have to do with the holiday and it's one of the more fun parts of the these events too is
we are a living history museum, so we're a hands-on museum. The only place that's roped off is a blacksmith for safety purposes and stuff like that, but as far as you go and you see a chair, you sit down in a chair in a woodworking shop. It's a hands-on. You can actually use the woodworking tools in there. We have a gentleman in there that can guide you through the use of the hand tools and things like that. You know, so it's a type of museum where you can actually do things, not just sit and look.
It's such a great point to bring up, Larry. I don't think I mentioned that nearly enough. It's one of the more unique experiences you can have, and especially with a museum where we're all used to a museum, that's the last thing you could do is breathe on anything, let alone touch it. Where here, you're encouraged to do that. It's pretty cool.
Everything that we have there is a reproduction, a faithful reproduction of. So we don't have to worry that great-great-grandma's chair is going to break. Because it was, you know, it was made to look like great-great-grandma's chair, but it's still in good shape.
One other thing I like to promote, too, is that our trails that we have out there, we have a good amount of trails that you can walk. It's supposed to be like 39 degrees on Saturday, so it'd be a beautiful day if you want. Come see our site and enjoy the site. But then if you want to just take a nice walk down our trails and see what they have, they're open to the public all the time. We do plan on having a snowshoe event this year. So you can come look at our trails and see what where we'll be having our snowshoe event and things like that as well.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Larry. It's something that there is no bad time of year to be able to check that out, but we do want to thank Mother Nature for the weather that we're looking like we're getting on Saturday, because, boy, Saturday is going to be a really good day to get out there and check that out. And something to keep in mind year-round, especially with the events that are going on year-round. Larry, you mentioned the snowshoeing. Before that, Saturday, this January 25th, there will be the Ice Harvest event, one of our favorite events that you guys do. This will be going on from 10 to 1 over at NEPCO Lake. That's a big one.
Yep.
Be sure to mark your calendars for that, everybody. And we'll talk more about it as we get closer to these events. And the Pinery Road snowshoeing, Saturday, February 1st. That'll go from 11 to 4. And then at 8:30 again. So this is going to be one of those ones that's broken up a little bit. And as we get closer to the event, we'll talk more about it. But I do like to remind people of that all these events are coming up. You know, mark them on your calendars, make plans to attend these events. And, of course, support local. And as we're talking to the guys and we're talking about this event, if you've noticed, I've kind of spread this out throughout the interview, that we are always looking for more volunteers and more people over there at the Historic Point Boss to help keep history alive over there. If you are encouraged, if you would like to find out more, I encourage you to go to historicpointboss.com to find that out, and certainly follow them on social media as well. Guys, was there anything else about the event that you wanted to make sure to talk about?
Just come on out and have a great time.
The weather, like I say, the weather is supposed to be nice. It'd be a wonderful day. We have heat in the house and heat in the bunkhouse and heat in the cabin, so you can come in and warm up a little bit if you do get a little bit chilly and enjoy the day out there.
And while this is not our biggest event of the year, that's actually better, because you get a chance to interact with the people that are there, look at something that gets to be, if there's a ton of people around, well, you can ooh, what's this? You know, or how do you do that? Or you can interact with the people that work there. And we learn from the public every now and then, like every time. somebody will come in and say, well, this is how you use that tool. Or did you ever try doing it this way? And it's like, ooh, I'm going to try that.
That's a great point, Tom. Thank you for bringing that up, because not only is that a fun part of this, but something we encourage the community about. And certainly part of the fun of this event is the interacting with it and interacting with all of you guys and the team over there. I greatly appreciate you two and all the volunteers and everybody that work over there at the Historic Point Boss. Appreciate the work that they are doing in helping keep history alive. Let's help them do that and have a great time this Saturday at Heritage Holidays, part of Nacoosa's Hometown Christmas. This will be going on from noon to 4. They got historic crafts, demonstrations, a scavenger hunt that's going on. And keep in mind that the Historic Point Boss, and it's pretty much its whole existence, has worked to keep their prices the way they are for the community. Because while there is plenty of prices rising and all these things and stuff, that $3 for adults, $1 for students. I could have taped this 7 years ago and just kept replaying it every year, because you guys just keep the same prices. A big tip of the hat to you for that.
And members come in free.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only one or so event. I think there's only one event.
Two events
that we don't, that where members don't get in free, and those are because there's a lot of our expense involved. But if you join Historic Point Boss, and family membership is 25 yet?
I believe so.
So when you come, if you come with a family, if you come to two events, the third one is literally free, and then all the rest of them are free. So, I mean, you know, it's like, what the heck? You come and say, hey, I'm a member, show them your card, and you walk in, and you've already, you're a member, you're part of.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up and leading me into that, Todd. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you set me up perfectly right there. Because single membership is $20 annually with free admission for one person to the events, as Tom was mentioning. Family membership is just $30. You can even get a lifetime membership or lifetime couple memberships as well. When you're doing that, not only are you covering your bases, so you got these events covered all year long. You can just show up and let everybody know, hey, I'm a member. But you are also knowing that not only are you buying local and supporting local, which is something we love to talk about around here, but you are helping keep history alive. I cannot stress that enough and how important that is and how unique and wonderful our Central Wisconsin history is and how cool it is to be able to have something like this. Not every community has a Historic Point Boss. Not every community has something like this. Let's keep it around. They have our back. Let's have their back and enjoy this wonderful event. Heritage Holidays coming up this Saturday, 12 to 4 over at the Historic Point Boss. Find out more at historicpointboss.com and be sure to follow them on social media. Larry, Tom, have a great time with the event. Enjoy the weather.
Thank you.
Hope to see you down there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A 32-year-old woman from Marshfield sentenced to a year and a day in prison on a conviction of conspiracy to distribute cocaine and methamphetamine. Chandelle L. Moore was sentenced this week after pleading guilty to the charge on August 20th. During a multi-year investigation on a methamphetamine and cocaine trafficking organization operating in Wausau, Moore was identified as a regional cocaine dealer in the Marshfield area. Eight others were also charged in connection with this drug trafficking organization. Tila Kumbera was convicted and sentenced to 54 months in prison. Four others have pleaded guilty and will be sentenced in the coming months. The cases for the remaining three are still pending. Joint replacement has become a more common surgery to reduce pain and improve mobility. Some question if age is a limiting factor. Joe Miller, D.O., an orthopedic surgeon with Aspirus Health, says there is no age too young or too old for joint replacement.
It's really more of what your life expectations are and needs and your level of disease.
Dr. Miller said having a new joint can be life-changing. Reducing pain and allowing more freedom of movement could allow someone to retain their independence rather than needing constant assistance.
Deciding if somebody is appropriate for surgery has multiple different levels. Level of pain, we use x-rays to determine your level of disease and severity, but also your overall physical health and ability to go through a fairly large surgery safely.
He said one of the biggest concerns is a patient's ability to take care of themselves after surgery.
You may need a little bit of help in the first few days around your house just to prevent falls.
If you're considering the procedure to restore your quality of life by reducing pain and increasing mobility, you should start by talking with your healthcare provider. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do you have an actor you like to watch even if he or she is in a TV show or movie that isn't great? That's how I feel about Coleman Domingo, who is the star of the show Madness. Domingo plays an outspoken TV personality who rents an Airbnb in the secluded Pennsylvania woods to work on a book, but stumbles upon a murder. He ends up fighting for his life while trying to clear his name after being framed for the crime. I can't give it rave reviews, but it's not a bad thriller, mostly because of the performance of Domingo. Season 1 of The Madness is available to stream on Netflix. Speaking of Domingo, his film Sing Sing is one of 5 nominees for Best Picture by the Independent Spirit Awards. Other nominees include the Demi Moore horror film The Substance, modern-day Cinderella critics' darling Anora, A24's I Saw the TV Glow, and Amazon MGM's Nickel Boys, which will be in theaters December 13th. Many more nominations for many more award shows will be announced right around the corner, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. And a mix of sun and clouds for your Friday afternoon, a high in the mid-20s. Warmer for the weekend and a partly sunny sky, high in the upper 30s for Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. It's 24 right now.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Caribou Coffee's Faith Flynn makes the popcorn pick of the week. Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie talks Christmas events around the state. Then we wrap up with WBAY morning show host Emerson Lehman. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 5th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Jen McNelly, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension Wood County. Jen, thanks for being here.
Hi, happy to be here, James.
After that title, we have 2 minutes left.
Right? You could probably squeeze in a few more words, but I'm not sure.
I'm glad we do have some time today, Jen, because we're going to talk a little bit about Wisconsin's water resources and salt.
Yeah.
A topic I don't know that we get a chance to talk about nearly enough.
No, it's one of those things that's kind of, people don't really think about it as a contaminant a lot of times, you know, because salt is a naturally occurring mineral. But for us, it can be a bit pretty big water quality issue. And especially given the time of year and the weather, and we're starting to salt our roads and stuff, it's a great time to start talking about it.
Yeah, we are finally heading into winter. It is go time for winter. Mother Nature has let us know that for sure. And you mentioned some important points about that regarding salt and the winters. So let's dive into this and what it means for us across Wisconsin here.
Sure. So for most folks are aware that we really have two types of water in the world. We have fresh water and we have salt water. For us in Wisconsin, we are blessed with an abundance of fresh water, which is great because that's the water that we need to survive and drink. And salt water is primarily confined to our oceans for the most part. So we absolutely need to use fresh water here in Wisconsin. However, what we're starting to see across the state is we're starting to see increasing levels of salts in our fresh water, not only our surface waters, but also our groundwater. And that can pose some problems for us, both for the aquatic life that live in it, and then also for us who are drinking it as well.
So what happens? How does this happen? Once it dissolves, is it something along those lines?
Sure. So where does it come from is a great question. So one of the important things about salt is it never goes away. You know, it'll dissolve in water, so we can't physically see it, and it'll travel with that water, but it just doesn't magically disappear over time. And so what happens is those levels actually start to build up and increase over time. We really started using salt in about the 1950s for things like road salting. Mm. It was effective. It was cheap. Easy to apply. And so if you consider that we've been using this for 60 plus years,
wow,
it really accumulates, yeah, over time. And that's where we're really kind of starting to see those issues. So there's a few really big sources of salt, mm-hmm, in Wisconsin. Number one, road salt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Number one, right, on the list. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If you drive down the road, you can actually physically see it on the road sometimes, yeah, after they're, yeah, done salting. So road salt is a huge one for us, especially in urban areas. So areas, cities, you know, villages that are out salting their streets. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Kind of sidewalks falls in that category too. Another one that a lot of people don't think about are water softeners. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us, mm-hmm, use a water softener in our home. We like the way that it makes our water taste and feel, mm-hmm, on our skin. But water softeners use salt. So a water softener is removing minerals like calcium and magnesium that make that water hard. And in order to do that, they use a special resin bead in their water softener that those minerals stick to. Only so many minerals can stick to those resin beads. And so they use a salt brine or a salt water to wash those off. And then those hard water minerals and the salt all gets flushed down your sink, goes to a water treatment plant. And a lot of water treatment plants just don't have the ability or the time or the money to remove that salt. Mm. And so then it's going back in our water resources, mm, or down your septic system. Mm. So those are probably the two biggest sources of salt in Wisconsin. The other one, fertilizers. Mm. So a lot of fertilizers will have a salt component to it that just is part of the process for creating it. We don't have a real great estimate of how much of our salt comes from fertilizers in Wisconsin. In Minnesota, they estimate about 23%. Hmm. But you can imagine in an area where we're, you know, where we have more agriculture,
yeah,
that might be a bigger thing.
It's even though we don't have the numbers, it's good to have that comparison, especially with such a close by state that has, right, similar soil and a similar lifestyle, but, yeah, not the same. So you have to think that number is higher. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not giving you numbers here, but just the science of it and everything.
It's probably pretty, yeah, similar. And then dust suppressants. So folks who live on gravel roads, a lot of times municipalities will use like a sodium chloride mixture to hold down salt or hold down the dust on those gravel roads. Mm-hmm. Luckily, mm, in Wisconsin, we don't have a whole lot of gravel roads,
yeah,
because of our dairy industry. And so that one isn't quite as big of a contributor, mm-hmm, for us.
So With all these factors, Jen, and before we get into the impacts of salt in the water, just real quickly, I know we're going to talk about what we can do about this and everything, but just It's something that I see all these things that we're talking about here, and I know my fellow human beings out there. We love convenience, and we yes. like things that are that. Well, we've always done it this way, and why should we change it? And some of that, right. And I know my fellow human beings are also tired of hearing of PFAS and that too. But we have to keep talking about these things, and we have to because we're kind of. So much of this is what we didn't know then, we know now.
Exactly.
And none of this is necessarily a judgment on that or anything. No. And I think that there becomes a defense mechanism and it kicks into for a lot of people when it comes to that. And that's not what we're – that's there. First, that doesn't do us any good. And two, it's not really about that. We're talking about today and tomorrow. That's what we're focusing on.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about that – and again, we'll get into this more in a moment. Yeah. But do you see us being able to build like a good happy medium here with these things?
Yeah, absolutely. This luckily, when we talk about contaminants, a lot of times it can be very kind of a doom and gloom kind of thing because, you know, things like PFAS, we don't have a great solution for that yet. We're still learning about that one. Right. So when it comes to what the heck do we do about it, boy, that's a tough nut to crack. Mm-hmm. Even nitrates are a tough one. Things like chloride, that's actually kind of an easy one for us because we can find that happy medium between being able to use it and use it smartly in a smart way. So, yeah, absolutely. This is one of those.
And I appreciate you going off script a little with me there because it's important, I think, for people to remember that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that there are things here that we can do to make this not only better for us, but better for our kids, better for the future, while also still, you know, using a lot of these things that we have used for many, many years and everything, decades. And
absolutely.
Such.
And in the case of chlorides, too, I think it's also important because there is a safety factor here, mm-hmm. especially for us in Wisconsin. Yeah. Where we really do have to use this occasionally, but how can we do it in an intelligent way that, you know, conserves our natural resources, but also allows us, you know, to continue to use it. So.
And part of the reason we're talking about this are the impacts of salt in our water.
Yeah.
And if we can touch on that a little bit too,
yeah,
Jen.
Absolutely. So salt is one of those things that it really doesn't have a human health impact. So we're lucky in that respect. So naturally occurring like chloride, which is an anion of salt, but I'll use salt and chloride interchangeably.
Sure.
So naturally occurring chlorides in water, in drinking water, are about 1 or 2 milligrams per liter is what we would expect to find. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We start to notice a salty taste to our water at about 250 milligrams per liter. So that's where we start to go, wait, something doesn't seem quite right with this. And even then, there really isn't a health impact. It's more of a preference of like what you want your water to taste like. I will caveat by that by saying people who are on a low sodium diet as prescribed by their doctor may want to just keep that in the back of their mind because they should be taking their water source into consideration as part of their low sodium diet. So
my father, my parents and my dad deals with that. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's really a good
right?
note.
It's not one of those things that you think about, especially people who have a water softener that can artificially increase that chloride level. That's just a good piece of information for folks to have. So not so much a human health concern. Mm-hmm. Where we start to get concerned is really with our aquatic life in our surface waters. Those ones are probably more significantly impacted. And if you think about it, it makes sense because they're adapted to live in freshwater, not saltwater. So when we start raising that salt content, they're like, whoa, wait a minute, something's not right here. Frogs and amphibians are probably the most susceptible to it. And a lot of times they are not going to be found in water over 200 milligrams per liter. And scientists think, you know, we're still trying to figure all of this out. So scientists think that like young or embryos are probably more significantly impacted than adults because their bodily functions that control salts are not yet fully developed. And so that's where we're wondering if there's even a more significant impact there. So the EPA has set some thresholds for folks to be aware of. They're kind of chronic. They're categorized as chronic and toxic. Mm-hmm. And chronic means, like, you don't want to see the water go above a certain level for really long periods of time. And that level is set at 230 milligrams per liter for surface water. So a lot of times based on that aquatic life. Their drinking water recommendation is 20 milligrams per liter. So, so significantly lower, but that's because generally groundwater or drinking water is not as heavily impacted as surface waters. So that's why that's lower. So what does it take to get to that level? This is always kind of one of those fun facts for me.
Yeah, right on.
So it only takes about 1 teaspoon of road salt to raise 5 gallons of water above those EPA Whoa. Thresholds. Yeah, so it really does not take Mm-mm. a lot of salt to bring us over Wow. those thresholds that are set by the EPA.
I pre-read this, and I still am shocked by that, Jen. Like, I hope that brings it home. If any of these other stats didn't, I think that one's got to really bring it home to people.
Yeah, you know? So 1 teaspoon, 5 gallons, which is just crazy.
And while so much of this is I think it's not very often that we have somebody come in and we're talking about something that literally affects everybody listening. Yeah, everybody's affected by this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that in knowing so many of our listeners and so many people out there, I know you guys care about water quality.
Absolutely.
You care about these things. We've got a lot of people that if not every 9.5 out of 10 care about the environment in this state.
Right.
But to anybody who may be hearing this and you've tuned out, or you don't necessarily think it may approach you or affect you. We just got done with, from what I could hear, a pretty successful hunting period.
Yeah.
We know that we have plenty of fishermen out there and fishers
Absolutely.
Out there and anglers and everything. And I got a couple of good friends that are big into fishing and stuff. All of this is tied together.
Absolutely.
All of it is tied together. What is happening out of your tap in your living or your kitchen is attached to that water that you're fishing out of. And those deer that you like to hunt, that's where they eat.
Yep.
When we talk about, especially coming out of the last winter we had and everything, our friends up north and so many of our tourism spots around here, how many people are going to want to come here if the water ain't any good? Or
right.
if we don't have any fish in the water or anything like that? This stuff all is tied together.
Yep.
We are all connected, and it is important to pay attention to these things, learn about this stuff so that we have these things to offer next generations and tourists and all that.
For sure.
And when we see these chloride levels surface and go this high, Jen, it's something that's noteworthy too. I appreciate what you mentioned about tasting salt in the water.
Yeah.
Especially to those that, when it comes to not testing their water or something or keeping up on that.
Yeah.
That can be a test right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that chloride is kind of a nice one to use for us kind of in the scientific community. It's really easy to test for and watch. And so it's a good indicator that if our water resources are being impacted by human uses, because that's where chlorides come from, is from humans. And so, yeah, super easy. In fact, people can actually monitor for chlorides themselves.
Yeah.
It's as easy. There are test strips that are available, and you just dip it in water, and it will give you a chloride level. Isaac Walton League actually has a program for monitoring chlorides for citizen scientists, so people who are out in the community and just want to know, well, what the heck. They can offer those test strips free of cost to you. So check in with the local Isaac Walton League and ask about their chloride monitoring program. It's so super easy to test for and keep your eye on.
I first learned about this, I would say, a long time ago in my 20s. So it was a good 20-some years ago between you and I, Jen. When I first started having fish tanks.
And
you, of course, have to test the water for fish tanks. So you're just putting that little strip in there for a second or two, pulling out, and you see how the water is for your little friends there in the fish tank. It's no different here with your own water, being able to test it. And it's a very simple, easy process to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Exact same process that you would do with a fish tank. That's a great analogy.
We're speaking with Jen McNally, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator with UW-Madison Extension. And Jen, what can we do when it comes to this topic?
Sure. So one of the easiest things to do when it comes to this topic and talk about salt and water is just be aware. Be aware of how much salt you're applying and when you're applying it. So, try and ratchet back on your salt that you're applying. Use as little as possible. If you can use an alternative like sand or mix the two, because that'll stretch your salt farther, that's a great way to do it. Wisconsin is really lucky. There is an amazing resource out there, a program called Wisconsin Saltwise. If you Google it, it'll show right up. But they've got a phenomenal website with all sorts of different resources. In fact, there's even a training program for professionals who do like winter snow removal and stuff and are salting sidewalks professionally. They can be trained on how to apply salt smartly to these resources and get a certification in it. So phenomenal resource. They have podcasts, fact sheets, all sorts of different things. So really, the big one is just being aware of how much we're using. For folks who have a water softener, you can actually, there's worksheets out there that you can use to kind of adjust your water softener to make sure it's using the minimum amount of salt necessary. Or you can look at using a water conditioner instead of a softener, which doesn't require any salt, but achieves the same end there. And then we talked about the monitoring as well. So those are all great things that people can do in their own backyard, essentially.
I think you bring up a really good point with the sand, too, that that's one. And it's something that a lot of people can do, and it's not an expensive thing to be able to do. And a great point, too, about mixing it with the salt. Yeah. And the fact that nowadays we do have other resources, we do have other options, as you mentioned there, that don't bring any salt into this.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point too, James, is that salt is starting to become really expensive.
Yeah.
It's a major cost for our cities and, you know, who are applying it to our roadways too. So they're always looking for ways to reduce just from an economic standpoint. Mm-hmm. In fact, today there was a great news article out there about using Cheeseway on streets. So Greene County down in southern Wisconsin is using Cheeseway as part of their de-icing program. So yeah, all sorts of new alternatives are coming out every single day.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to hear, and a credit to the not only the scientific community, but to community members and individuals out there thinking of these things and looking for different ways to do it. And if people are curious about what chloride or salt levels that are might be in their area or in their homes, are there resources that they can go to?
Yeah, sure. So good one is Saltwise actually has a map of chloride levels in Wisconsin, so that's a great one to go visit. You can always get your water tested through a water lab if you want to know specifically what's coming out of your tap, or you can reach out to professionals such as myself as well and ask questions.
And we'll give you the Jen's information before we wrap up on that. I do want to give a big shout out to all these organizations and different groups that not only we've talked about today, Jen, but different times that we've talked with the Extension members about our water quality and the different organizations out there that are working so hard on this. So much of our ag industry that is trying so hard to work with our communities and the all kinds of different organizations to figure out how can we make this work. And all of this and this whole conversation, the great information, the great stats you brought us, all of that is noteworthy. I hope one thing that also people are coming out of this with is this is something we can do something about. This is something that we can fix, that we can make better. So many times, as you touched on, these topics can seem so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we're talking about something that is literally a fluid situation in water. You know, it's a very,
I love that.
It's a very fluid situation. So it's understandable that we are learning as we go with some of these things.
Yeah.
And we're also doing, so many people are doing the best that they can with this topic.
Absolutely. You know, people think, oh, water, we should have known so much about this.
Yeah.
Water science is actually a relatively new topic in the grand scheme of like world history. So yeah, we are absolutely still learning and finding solutions.
I could spend an hour talking with you just about that. Just
right?
About how we, why are we so late to this?
Topic for next time,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And a great conversation again. Just one more time, wanted to mention a couple of websites. That is wisaltwise.com. It's a fantastic website. I did not know about it until I saw your notes, and I really appreciate it. My dad loves that site now.
Great resource.
He's got it bookmarked and everything. So
fantastic.
That is wisaltwise.com. And the UW Extension site is extension.wisc.edu, extension.wisc.edu. And Jen, if people have follow-up questions for you specifically, how can they reach you?
You know, they can go to that website and find my telephone number or email address, either one. Happy to answer questions all the time.
really appreciate the time. And keep in mind that not only with this conversation, but other conversations with our friends from UW Extension, you can find them all at civicmedia.us. Just go under shows and look for the Extension logo or our label with that, and all the great conversations we have with our team over there. Say hi to everybody at Extension for us.
I will certainly do that.
Thanks for the time. Oh, and have a happy holiday, Joe.
Thank you. You too, James.
You guys, I apologize. I'm going off script here again for a second because I wanted to bring this up right away, and I almost forgot. Jen has the most amazing earrings. Most holiday earrings. They're awesome. I love those Snoopy earrings. They're great.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, Jen. We appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. No serious damage or injuries reported after a magnitude 7.0 earthquake struck Northern California just before 11 a.m. local time. CBS's Danya Baucus.
The quake prompted the San Francisco Zoo to evacuate visitors, move animals to higher ground, and secure its staff. Some schools also were evacuated.
President-elect Donald Trump's choice to lead the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth, continues to try to persuade reluctant senators to back him. But CBS's Jake Rosen says it doesn't look good.
A senior transition official told CBS News that, quote, time is running out for Hegseth to prove himself in these meetings on Capitol Hill.
Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy told members of Congress on Capitol Hill today about their plans to reduce the size of the federal government. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise was among those who heard from them.
Obviously, is the ideas come through the DOGE, they're going to bring those ideas to the president. Some things will be done through executive order. Some things we're going to do legislatively.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The city of Wisconsin Rapids still does not have a contract with the Southwood County Humane Society. SWCHS Board President Tim Kritz spoke at the Finance and Property Committee meeting on Tuesday. He shared again how the contract has been refigured for municipalities that contract with the Humane Society. The new contract is based on use, making it a fairer charge for services rendered. Committee members discussed revisions they want to make to the contract. These include requiring a photo ID and a copy of the driver's license for anyone picking up an animal from SWCHS. This allows the municipalities to bill their residents for shelter services. The shelter will also track how many days the animals are kept at the shelter and include that in the reports they share with municipalities. Tim addressed rumors that are being spread in the community regarding the renovations that are happening at the shelter and where that money is coming from. The shelter has a new septic, and they've updated the dog room. Upgrades are continuing with new, safer office spaces. They will have their own surgical center and are working to have a full-time vet on site. They'll include a community room in the new addition where the public can attend informational classes. Tim said someone is spreading rumors that the shelter has hidden money and is gouging the city. That is not true. The money for these upgrades are not part of the shelter operating budget. The money came from the Legacy Foundation by a grant or was donated by people who willed it to the shelter for these upgrades. SWCHS hopes to complete the new addition by spring and will be able to give tours to municipalities who contract with them. A motion was made to pass the revised 2025 contract with the Southwood County Humane Society. There was no second, so the motion died for lack of a second. The contract may come back as a Finance and Property Committee meeting item next week, and the Common Council meeting is on December 17th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks lose to the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Milwaukee now 11-10. They face the Celtics tomorrow night in Boston. College basketball, Marquette losing to Iowa State, 81-70. The Golden Eagles host the Badgers on Saturday. NFL, Packers and the Lions tonight on Thursday Night Football. Tight end Tucker Kraft on the Packers' good mood after winning three in a row.
The locker room is almost always like this because even when